The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 396.
Seven
is what I meant to say, but I didn't. Of Cognitive Dissonance. And we are now we're employers again, man.
We're job creators.
And you know, I'm excited about the corporate tax cuts that we're going to be receiving.
And we will not be passing those down to our employees.
No, we'll be putting those in our fucking fat cat pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
going to put that in the wings pile.
Well, we are now the proud owners. Oh, we own them, right?
No.
Why, Tom? You can't own people?
No, Tom. Edit.
He sounded. Wait. We're renting? You don't build equity renting.
Don't build equity renting, but millennials like to be rented.
We are now the proud
employers.
Landlords?
Employers.
I don't know. Oh, fine.
Employers.
Have it your way.
Employers.
Of one Ian. The production assistant, the podcast coordinator, guy that works for us,
the guy that helps out,
business card.
Ian, you should
order business cards to give yourself a title. Yeah. If you're listening, he can be AVP.
You know, Ian, be a secular thinky guy.
That would be a great business card.
So, but Ian joined their ranks last week. We had amazing people that signed up.
It was crazy.
For this. We had this pile that we had to whittle down. Into sort of let's talk to this small group of people because we only have a limited amount of time to interview.
Right.
But the people we interviewed with, the resumes we got were amazing.
Right.
And they were hard to whittle down. So we had some great people who sent us stuff. We interviewed with several people. Everybody we interviewed with was, I would have been happy hiring any one of them. They were that good.
Absolutely.
So it was a really great process. And it was one of those moments that really happy that people who listen are so talented. So it was great.
I'm not sure why talented people aren't listening, but we're grateful to have you.
Absolutely.
And really, I mean, jokes aside, for everybody that did submit a resume, both in this hiring process and our first hiring process, thank you for being listeners to the show.
Absolutely.
Thanks for caring enough to take the time to send a resume, to want to work for us and to want to work with us. If we could hire all of you guys, we would, but this would be a very different show. Yeah. And I don't know what we'd do with all of you.
If we're going to put on a show somewhere, though, we might hire you as extras just to sit in the audience.
And so, hoot and holler. Yeah,
we'll keep you in mind.
Now we look more popular.
However, I have made an exception. I think you can attend a wedding if you hold up a sign that reads Leviticus 20:13. I think that would be appropriate.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah, that you could attend a wedding and hold up the sign Leviticus 20:13. And, you know, word for word, a man sleeps with a man as he sleeps with a woman, the two of them have committed abomination, they shall both be put to death. I mean, you could attend a wedding and hold up that sign. So if you get an invitation to a homosexual wedding, and I guess, Dave, it comes down to if you bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, you could put Leviticus 20:13 on the cake.
So I want to talk about this story from Yahoo. Gay couple sues printing company over homophobic wedding pamphlets. And I got to say, we live in a fucking litigious age when you get sued over every little homophobic wedding pamphlet.
Shitty, awful, garbage wedding pamphlet that somebody sends you. And, you know, it didn't even say anything that bad. Tom, I want to read what it said. They were going to get a wedding program for their wedding. And instead what they got was this sort of bigoted, shitty pamphlet that talked about a box full of them. There's none of the things that they ordered.
Right.
And this,
it's not like they got their order.
Exactly.
Plus these
things, it's not like inside their order, tucked neatly inside, was this bigoted pamphlet. No, they just got the bigoted pamphlet. You can't, and it's all color, so you can't even write on it and be like, we are getting married today or something. It's not even paper you can use.
Right.
But it says in there, Satan entices your flesh with evil desires. I gotta say, that Satan gives the nicest wedding gifts. You know what I mean? Like, it is the nicest. He also says, Satan knows our flesh is weak. He preys upon our weakness to tempt us to sin. Satan can only influence us to want to sin. He cannot make us sin. At a certain point, you just want to be like, hey, can somebody take the mic away from Satan at this wedding? Like, you know what I mean? Like he's like your drunk uncle. Like, he's like, I remember when I used to sing to you.
He's the shitty DJ who won't stop playing.
He's like, chicken dance.
Right?
To the left.
No, how about if you just kill yourself instead?
I hate that song so much.
We're going to do the electric slide all night.
Oh my God.
Just one after the other.
Oh.
That is, you know, it's nice. It actually makes sense because that is my version of hell.
Oh,
is to just have to do the electric slide.
What I hate about it is like how every single wedding you go to, they play that electric slide and the dance floor is full of people. And I'm like, this is the worst sounding music I've ever heard in my life.
It's an absolute,
I'd rather listen to somebody play something on the ukulele.
It's also not fun at all.
No,
like dancing to that is not fun. No. It's a horrible, horrible song. And it's like, the song is telling you what to do. It's not like you're out there like, look what a good dancer I am following the fucking set. It's like that game of,
it's Simon Says.
Yeah. But it's like Twister.
Yeah.
It's like the dancing version of Twister, except you can't accidentally slip your dick in somebody. Right. Everybody lubes up for Twister.
What are you going to do?
Right.
That's why that thing is made of vinyl.
Right. It's easy clean.
Wouldn't be made of vinyl if it wasn't for slipping on.
Super,
I mean, come on.
Weird. Yeah. I don't know how you played Twister.
I evacuated my bowels on that thing every time. Are you kidding me?
I love this too. Cause it's like,
oh, my knees in brown.
I love these pamphlets because they're like, the pamphlets are obviously written by somebody who totally wants to fuck a dude, right? Because it's like, listen to the way it's written. Satan entices your flesh. Look, my flesh is not enticed by dudes because I'm just straight.
I'm straight. It's okay.
So it's like, it's not how this works. What is so funny is like this fucking homophobic shit is so obviously laden with all this like latent homosexual desire.
Yeah.
It's like, you can only give in to the temptation. Like, I'm not tempted.
Yeah.
Straight people aren't tempted, man.
They're just like, okay, cool. There's gay people. I'm going to be over here not being gay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like, sexuality is more than likely like a continuum, right?
Yeah.
So some people fall hard
absolutely
one side, hard the other, all in the middle,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So fine. All that is true, but it's like, they're sending out these pamphlets as if to suggest that, like, now you're straight.
Yeah.
Everybody's heterosexual.
Yeah.
It's just that you, like me, sometimes want to
look,
suck it up.
You,
right?
Like me, want to get jizz in your face. Well, come on, let's be honest.
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
You want to write back, be like, I think you're gay, dude. I think.
Do you want to come to the wedding?
Yeah, right.
We need
send him an invite.
We need a flower girl.
Wouldn't that be great? Is to just invite.
Yeah.
Like, that would be such a great retaliation. Instead of like, all the, like, you know, mean-spirited stuff right back. Just be like, this guy should be invited to every gay wedding forever. That should be the response. You get invited to every gay wedding, cut your mailbox, your fucking inbox.
Full of fucking,
is stuffed as full as gay fucking ass. Like, just, it's just crammed, like, with fucking gay invitations.
When your postal worker comes by, he just shoots the Astroglide in there and shoves as many fucking invites as he can in your fucking mailbox. What I want to say, though, is, like, these people got these things the night before they're going to get married, right? So it's not like, at least that's what it sounded like from the article. And I remember something like that, where they're just like, it was a very quick turnaround of something they had to get. So they had to go out of their way to find it somewhere else. It's a shitty inconvenience to do to somebody, right? It's a shitty, awful inconvenience. It's In my opinion, harassment to send this to somebody like that.
Harassment. Yeah.
But we were talking a while back, Tom, you know, you're in the mortgage industry and you had a comment about like, you know, it's not just cakes. Like what if somebody refused to give somebody a loan because they're gay? Or what if somebody refused to close their loan because they're gay? What if you showed up at the closing table to close this loan? You open it up and it's all these gay pamphlets, not closing documents.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like that's absolutely. Not a, like
there's nothing that says that a business owner can't own I'm going to use this term. You guys know it, a non-frivolous business. Right. And so what I mean is like a much more serious business, like cakes and pies and ice creams and pamphlets and things are, I don't know. You know what I mean by frivolous, right?
It's a very important day, but at the same time,
no
one's entire fortune can be lost on this day.
Right. Yeah. Your financial health does not revolve around this. Your physical and emotional and mental health does not revolve around this. But you know, there are people in private practice in a number or own small companies that could absolutely do the same shit, like you said. They could do the same shit and they could ruin you financially.
Yeah.
They could ruin you. How many times have you been in a position where it's like, man, I'm excited for this to happen because this is a big deal in my life. Yeah. Buying, selling a home.
Yeah.
You know, but also like, you know, can you imagine if like a medical practitioner decided at the last minute? Like, yeah, I'm just not going to do that.
I don't want to take care
procedure.
Of you.
Right.
I don't want to take care of you because I don't like your lifestyle.
Right. I mean, so we focus on it when it comes to these sort of, you know, frivolous events.
Yeah.
And you guys know what I mean by that. So, but they could be non-frivolous. They could be life-changing, life-alteringly negative consequences. And that's why you should care.
Yeah.
Right. That's because this is, like you said, this is an inconvenience, right? Like cake is rarely an emergency.
Harassing inconvenience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's an inconvenience.
Right.
But it can be worse. I think about when I sold my home and the buyer of my home, I had like a lot of things that I had to line up in a row to make sure that the buyer was happy with the home.
Right.
And if any of those things fell through, the buyer was going to walk away.
Yeah.
Because there's other houses out there.
Right.
There's other things to do. And then I've got to go through the whole process of finding another buyer. And then what if I have a house on contingency? There's all this shit that can go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Just because one person fucks that chain up. And
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
There's so many situations. I just know my own business. There's so many situations where, you know, a transaction comes down to the final moments. And if things don't happen in that final moment, you could have two or three deals that all rely on each other. They have a domino effect. I got to sell my house to get funds to buy your house. When I do that, you release funds to buy your house. You can have two or three or four deals that all rely on each other.
Oh, Jesus.
That's
like
not
dominoes.
It is dominoes. That's not unusual at all. So if something goes wrong with one of them, it fucks up all those other deals that are all reliant upon one another. But like you could be in a position where if that deal doesn't close today, you lose the house. You could be moments from foreclosure. You could have a tax deed that's pending on your property. I mean, you could lose it. It's not just like, oh fuck, I gotta find a new buyer.
Yeah, could be worse. Like, could be way worse. Yeah,
I lost my opportunity to sell that home.
Yeah.
God, I'm here to be trained. I'm here for an education. I'm willing, God. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This story is everywhere. It's also from Yahoo is where we're talking about it from, but this is fucking everywhere and it's pretty awful. Grandparents of shackled children say God called on parents to have so many kids.
Do they live in a shoe?
They'd have been better off living in
a
shoe.
Tell you what, they could have just laced them up though.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like you don't have to actually have shackles. They could have just used the
laces.
Just
tie them at the top?
Yeah. Especially get those pole climbers.
They were actually in those kangaroo shoes where it's just like a zipper over the top of them and they're just like belted in.
No, they were actually in the Crocs and everybody made fun of them.
Okay, hold on. This was horrific abuse, but it's not Crocs level bad.
It's not Crocs
level bad.
That's
Crocs.
True.
Have you ever owned a pair of Crocs?
No.
I used to own a pair.
Did you?
I did. Yeah. They were my lawn mowing shoes, which is great because like there is nothing like more suburban dad than
lawn
like
mowing
wearing
Crocs.
A pair of shorts.
Yeah.
And your fucking Crocs and a t-shirt. But like I had a dog. And so I go out and mow the lawn and then just hose my shoes down because I got a fucking dog.
You got plastic shoes. It's okay. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Like non-stick for poop.
Now I just wear two frying pans.
I just wear Teflon shoes.
The thing is, like, if I tied Teflon frying pans to my feet, it would be more attractive than a pair of Crocs.
That's very true.
It would be.
Girls would walk up to me like, "What's cooking, baby?"
So this story is just insane. This is a couple that had 12 children. The oldest of these kids is 29 years old, who, when police raided it, 29. They thought the kid was 10. They thought this 29-year-old human being was 10 years old. They were so malnourished. They said that the neglect and the abuse was so bad that there was cognitive impairment. These kids didn't know what things like they didn't know the word medication. They didn't know what that was. Some of the kids didn't know what a police officer was because they were so isolated sheltered. From
so
the rest
sheltered.
Of the world.
Yeah. So homeschooled.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that they talk in this article about the fact that these kids were homeschooled. Like, why would you even bother homeschooling people you're not letting out of the house?
You know what that's saying is that the government let them abuse them without checking up on them. Well, that's really what they're saying.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you make a good point. And we've talked about this before, but, like, you know, one of the great advantages to the schooling system is that now there are systems in place to look at your kids and make sure that they exist.
Sure.
Right. They don't drop off the map and just stop being anymore.
Yeah.
There's people in place to like talk to your kid if your kid appears to be malnourished or abused or like whatever. So all of that is like, all of that is a good thing, right? It doesn't catch everybody. But it catches some.
Sure.
It might have caught one of these 12.
Might have caught one of them.
There's a dozen of them.
Could you imagine if these kids are coming to school and they look like the Walking Dead? You're going to be like, okay, well, something's wrong there. You know, if they don't know what fucking certain things are.
Yeah. Basic things like what is a police officer or a medication?
Yeah.
The abuse here was just insane.
Well, 29 years of being chained inside of a house.
That's commitment to abuse. That's
that
commitment
really is.
To your
That
cause,
really
though.
Is. Yeah.
I, you know, the thing that like struck me is like, I want to get rid of my kids when they turn 18.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I going to keep them for another 11 years?
Well, I'll tell you why they're keeping them. It's at one point they were saying the kids were installing sod at 9 p.m. And I think the reason why you keep them is that they're like a live-in greenskeeper.
You know? A dozen of them?
I
Your
know,
yard
though.
Must be like
but
a, what do you got, a hedge maze?
But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, but wouldn't it just be easier to hire like a landscaper?
Right.
Like just not have the kids. But the thing is that
there's an elaborate topiary in the front yard.
I know, right?
And fucking Jack Nicholson is dead in the frost in the winter. Fucking,
one of the kids got scissors on his hands. He's making fucking bunnies and shit. It's just, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like they're fucking like a whole crew of Edward Scissorhands.
Right. You know, like,
but at one point I do want to read one thing. Cause it says, because the agency doesn't want the siblings to be taxed for money they'll receive, they are setting up a fund to go through the Riverside County Regional Medical Center Foundation. All GoFundMe campaigns for these kids that benefit the siblings are fake. So,
really?
Yeah. So people who are, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh man, this sounds horrible, I'd love to donate to these kids, make sure you find the right one. Don't do the GoFundMes because clearly they're setting something up through the county medical center. So find that one if you're thinking,
dude,
man,
people are fucking awful.
Isn't that shitty?
People are fucking awful. These are fucking tortured human. These are tortured children.
And you're going to profit
off
that.
I bet I can make a buck on that.
I can get a bucket of KFC for your suffering.
You know what would be nice? Let's compound your misery with additional misery.
God, it's so bad. There's a quote from this article that killed me though. It was one of their neighbors said, last Christmas, they had their nativity scene and it stayed up for months and months to the point where I even wanted to knock on the door and say, listen, do you need help? Past Easter it was up. And I loved it. These kids went through all this horrible shit and the people next door are still finding a way to dig on them. Be like, these motherfuckers never trim their hedges. Their fucking lawn was dirty. They never weed whacked.
They leave their garbage cans out after 6 p.m. These motherfuckers calling the cops. That's
Everybody
it.
Everybody knows recycling's supposed to be taken on Thursday.
They don't even put a sticker on large items. This is bullshit. What do you think? I'm just going to waste management. Just going to throw away your stuff like you're special.
Oh, God. That's so funny.
The real crime, though, and I do want to point this out, the real crime is that guy's haircut.
That guy's haircut.
That guy's haircut.
That guy is something else.
If there is any crime involved here, that guy's haircut is, it is the worst atrocity. I know that there was some really bad shit that happened. Yeah. I recognize that.
Somebody sheared that guy with a sheep shear. That's what happened.
That guy went to work looking like that. That guy, because like this guy had a job. He had a good paying job, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was a successful guy. You have to be successful to neglect 12 kids. That's expensive.
Yeah.
That's expensive. A lot of, think about the grocery bill you don't have.
Exactly. Think about the medical bill you don't have. Think about all of the bills you don't have.
Yeah. You know, one of the things.
Think about the crime sentence you will have.
Right? Oh, yeah. They're going away forever.
Oh, yeah. I was getting alerts on my phone about this, and they're talking about how they went to, they're going to go to trial and they pled not guilty, but it's like their bail was set for some outrageous sum.
Like $12 million.
Yeah, some outrageous sum. But the one thing I find interesting about all of these cases that, turn out like this, you find the passage that said fucking fuck like bunnies and you sort of grabbed onto that one. Yeah. But you didn't fucking even pay attention to the like be nice to people part. You know what I mean? Like that's the part that most people say the Bible is about, even though it's not really about that. But there are a few passages in there that say be nice to people that people seem to amplify to the rest of the public.
Right.
And those are the ones you seem to forget for your own family.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, you're not even like being like, nah, you don't have to eat. Whatever. I made you.
There's a part of me that like, I don't want to say I can understand it, but like, I know that there are some people out there that are just broken, shitty, psychopathic, mean-spirited, cruel people. Yeah. Right. But how are there two?
Yeah.
How do they justify that to each other together? You know what I mean?
So like a serial killer Tinder out there?
Yeah. That's what, like weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would serial killer Tinder be called?
Tweet that at us. Figure out a name for serial killer Tinder and tweet it at us.
I like it.
Lord, we just ask to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Open hearts, Lord. Open hearts.
This story. I had to stop reading this story today. This is one of those few stories that I started reading and I got a little anxiety about and I just quit. I stopped reading it. I was like, I can't finish this story.
Yeah, this is a pretty awful story too.
She couldn't finish the crucifix either that she was eating.
Her eyes were bigger than her throat. Okay, hold on. That's so bad. That's so bad. All right. This is the same is true with BBC porn.
Now, some of those women have a trick throat. Right.
Very wide open eyes. This story is from Washington Post. This is the title. She forced a crucifix down her possessed daughter's throat. Now she's convicted of murder. So the story's not dissimilar from the title.
No, it really isn't. I mean, except for the part where they didn't mention where she beat her daughter to death.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know,
and then laid her body out. And one of the saddest things about this story is like the former boyfriend, this is how the guy gets found, or the woman gets found, is that this guy goes to mom's house to win his ex-girlfriend back. And he's like, he shows up to win his girl back. And like the mom crazily lets him in.
Yeah, and just shows him the dead body.
That's beaten like beyond recognition.
But laid out like a crucifix though. She laid her out.
Right,
like
and then put a crucifix
put a
on
crucifix
her.
On her.
Yeah. And she had crammed a crucifix down her throat to where her throat was bleeding. You know, if you're going to suck cocks in hell, that makes it much harder. It does. Like, cause it just gets in the way. I just saying like,
I was thinking more along the lines of like, if there was like one of those ads on TV, like stop taking crucifix. If you're currently being beaten to death or dying, it's what I don't understand about it is like what her thought process was, is there's a demon in there. Got to stuff this crucifix down there to stop the demon.
Right.
Like this person is clearly an insane person.
Well, they are. And you know, because they let the boyfriend in and the boyfriend's like, the fuck. And then she attacks the boyfriend, like puts him in like a headlock and shit.
Yeah.
And it's just, she's just fucking
she's just
nuts.
Crazy.
She's just nuts. But you know, I have to think truthfully that like crazy people be crazy, right?
Yeah.
And mental illness is terrible.
There's nothing you can do about it.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right. But you know, I do think that when mental illness sort of collides with these possession myths.
Yeah.
And these, you know, because those are stories, and hyper-religiosity is a feature of some psychotic breaks and some mental illness episodes. And when you have these myths about possession and about demons and these myths about good and evil and the battles that are waged between them for ourselves, all of that's nonsense. None of that's true. Would mentally ill people make this up out of thin air? and engage in these acts?
I did. That's that. I think we've asked this question before. Yep. Like, if religion wasn't there as sort of the worldview,
right?
The way in with the lens in which you see the world, would these people do this sort of thing?
Right.
And this is, I mean, it's such a horrible story when you hear it and you hear what happened to this. I mean, this poor woman suffered. Your own mother is beating you to death. Your own mother is pummeling you.
It'd be weird for her to stop drinking long enough to do that.
Your mother's dead. She just didn't tell you. Come on. But
she didn't tell me.
She didn't tell you.
I'm dead. Why your voice got deep? That's
I'd like
weird.
You to tell my son I'm dead. No, but the oh man. But you hear the story and you can't help but think, what if they didn't have this thing too that was sort of a giant feature in their life? This right. religion that was a giant feature in their life. What if it was something else?
What if it was Jainism, right? Like, do you ever hear about, and maybe you do, but I've never heard a story about somebody who had a psychotic break and was a practitioner of Jainism and then committed a violent act, right? In the using a nonviolent religion as a source for that violence, right? And I look at something like this and I think, like, was this person, I don't know the answer, but it's just worth asking. Like, was this person prone in some way to violence as a result of the mental illness? Or was the violence that they committed the natural progression, the natural thing to do because they really thought this set of nonsensical beliefs now were true? It's like, if I really believed in demons, if I genuinely believed that somebody were possessed by an evil spirit, I would be scared and I would want to get that out. And that would drive me to different ways of thinking that might
might hurt them or something. Yeah.
So like, if the problem is that I can't differentiate reality from fiction, if the fiction that I'm being fed is this good, evil narrative with supernatural forces vying for our immortal souls, that's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. But if the fiction is like, you know, not that.
Yeah.
Then how is it dangerous?
If it's not a thing that threatens you.
Right. Is it dangerous to other people? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. And I wonder too, like, clearly people have psychotic breaks in, you know, countries that are more atheist than not.
Right.
You know, I don't think that there's a good way to measure this against Muslim countries, because Muslims believe a lot of the same sort of, you know, devils and things sort of thing.
Right.
So that's hard to do, but there's
like Norway or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like something like that. Like, is there, you know, when those people have psychotic breaks, are they doing violent shit because psychotic breaks cause you to be violent, or are they doing, would they do a
or
violent,
are they just not,
you know,
doing, violent
just not
shit?
Doing violent shit?
Yeah.
Ready to stick it in the glory hole? Get links to their Facebook, Twitter, and if you still use it, Google Plus account at their website, dissonancepod.com. If you need to be all discreet about it, contact them by email at dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a ransom message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Want to hear Cognitive Dissonance commercial-free and gain access to exclusive content, including full patron-only shows? Head to patreon.com/dissonancepod and become a patron to support the show on a per-episode basis. Love commercials? Not ready to become a patron? Give the guys a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Or tell your buddies in the drunk tank about the show. We want to send a big sloppy glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
God damn, this blew me away.
This is a scary story.
This blew me away.
This might even be scarier than the previous story.
It is scarier than the previous story because it affects more of us. Yeah. This is also from the Washington Post. And this dovetails with what we've talked. We've talked about this very issue.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying that our suspicions were backed up by a study.
Yeah.
Study is 42% of Republicans believe that accurate but negative stories qualify as fake news. That's exactly, we talked about this, Cecil. We talked about this, and the scary thing is, like, if you can label something you don't like as fake, if that word fake loses its meaning, if that word fake... Yeah,
because fake, what fake means is not true.
Right. Not true, not accurate, made up, right? If fake all of a sudden becomes synonymous with, I just don't like it, and that's how I decide what's true, and that's how I decide what to believe. I decide what to believe based on the things I like or I don't like.
Right.
We're just fucked.
Yeah. Changing the meaning of that word means something.
Right. And that terminology is the term that's being used to dismiss these things.
And
right?
The problem is that they're treating that term as if it is as dismissive when they're using it incorrectly.
Right.
Right?
Right. They use the term fake news to dismiss stories they don't like.
Yeah.
As if those stories weren't true. So conflating those two things is insanely dangerous. It's just insanely dangerous. It erodes the very nature of truth. It really does. Like, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but it does necessarily erode the nature of truth itself.
I wonder if fake is becoming shorthand for shit I don't want to believe. You know what I mean? Like, where it's not that it's true or false. It's just, I don't want to believe it.
Yeah, I guess. But like, you know, what's funny when you say that, my first thought is like, well, there are things that I think are true that I don't want to believe, but I still think they're true.
Sure.
And I find them distressing, right? Right. I find those things that I don't want to be true, but which are true.
I don't want this to be true.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. This is actually a great example. I don't want to believe this.
Yeah.
But I nonetheless think that it is true.
Sure.
Right. There's no cognitive dissonance there, right? Yeah. Those things are not mutually exclusive of one another. I can reconcile them. I'm just distressed by the fact of
sure.
it. It's just like, man, if we're in a place where we just say, well, if I don't like it, it's not true.
Yeah.
We're just fucked. We should just quit the whole fucking endeavor. Yeah. We're just fucked.
The president, even though he didn't coin this phrase, grabbed onto this phrase very early, even before he took office.
Yeah.
And his use of this term has given it legitimacy that it should not have.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this falls squarely not only on his shoulders, but on the entire party's shoulders, because many of these people have said the same thing. Even, you know, we saw his ambassador that was appointed.
That was insane.
Said the same thing. We've seen many of these people that are Republican senators and congressmen have said the same thing. People on his staff have said the same thing. This is not a,
yeah,
it's not an isolated case of one person using this word. There's this terminology. There's terminology spread throughout the entire, it's basically infected the entire controlling party of this country.
It's become a strategy. Fake news has become not a label, but a strategy. Yeah. And it's so funny because, like, when the whole idea, like when this fake news sort of phenomenon began to pop up, at least as far as I became aware of it, it was really like, oh man, like there's all these right-leaning stories that are popping up on social media sites that aren't true. They're fake. And then there was this like, holy shit, like the narrative of policy is being shaped in the public opinion by stories that are being written, you know, by bots, and they're not, it's not real journalism and all of that. And that should have been a scandal. That should have been this scandal where everybody fucking, honestly, where everybody kind of panicked a little
bit
and said, whoa, that is literally terrible.
Yeah.
And it's going to fuck us all over. And instead, this thing that was and is really egregiously awful and it erodes our democracy in ways that I can't even express too deeply. It became a strategy for the right.
Yeah. Yeah. It removes the entirety of the press as a part of our democracy.
I'm Raymond Massey, and I have a special message for senior citizens. Today's doctors, drugs, and medical devices truly work medical miracles for young and old alike. But there are some as phony as a $3 bill. Investigate before you invest in health services or products. Help stamp out quackery.
This story comes from Bad Science Debunked blog. If it quacks like a duck, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, acillosonium?
Acillococcinium?
Acillococcinium?
Cockinum? Oh, a silly cock in them. Got it.
A silly cock in them.
Yeah.
This is crazy. So this is a story about a product I don't know what to call it. A product you can buy at CVS. You can actually buy this thing at CVS.
Yeah.
And it's a silly cock in them. And it's a homeopathic remedy. And it's even crazier than the typical homeopathic remedy. So I know you guys probably already know this, but homeopathic remedies are basically just like water dilutions.
Yeah,
like
they
take a thing and they dilute it and then they dilute it again and they keep doing that until they've diluted something hundreds or thousands of times against the original. And like they have a great analogy in the article. It's like, you know, if if the duck, so it would,
yeah, it says a dilution so high that even if you started with a duck, with a chunk of duck the size of the sun, not one molecule would remain. Is what it said.
So this is a wonderful story because this is still something that's available, and it's like it's got no ingredients in it.
Yeah, no, there's nothing in it. Sugar.
Yeah. It's just, it might not even have sugar in it.
Yeah.
It could just have
Well, they said it was sugar dust. Pills. They said it was sugar pills.
That's what they call it. Yeah. I think, but I feel like they just always say sugar pills as a stand-in for placebo.
I see, okay.
I wonder if it even has anything in it, but just like a gelatin capsule and like...
Nothing
air. Inside. Why bother even putting anything inside? Why? Seriously, why don't you sell you a box and when you open it up, it's like there's just like a little note that says you're healed now.
Yeah.
And like
the worst part about this is this is at CVS and it's sitting on shelves next to shit that you would normally buy for the flu.
Right.
That people don't know that it's not a homeopathic because it doesn't say homeopathic on it.
Right.
It doesn't tell you that it's not it's not garbage, right? It doesn't say, you know, only for stupid people. Right. It doesn't have that on the package. It just says, yeah, man, here's something with a big long
only
ass
for
name.
Stupid people. Yeah. You just like go and it's like, are you looking at like the signs at CVS? It's like baby formula, cough and cold remedies for stupid people. Oh, that's for me. Everything is like
they're all 9-volt batteries.
You're just licking them. Like,
I love this one. But you know, it's got a name on it that is really long and sounds like a penicillin type name. Right. So you're just like, well, that might be a thing.
So I got to tell the story of this product. I think it's a fucking riot, right? And it does look like penicillin, right?
Yeah.
But like, it's called this because it's named after an imaginary bacteria.
Right. Yeah.
It's an imaginary bacteria that is imaginatively found in ducks, right? So like, none of this is, and then
it's
so they
not
take
real.
This, they take this.
And it's not really found in ducks,
right? Yeah. So they're like, yeah, this. The thinking behind it is like, well, you know, ducks plus the flu equals magic bacteria that we then diluted to. Well, there's not even any of the magic bacteria in it.
This is a weird equation,
right?
What's the symbol for duck in an equation? It's the open sign, isn't it? It's like
it's the quack sign. It's the
would the duck eat this over this? That's the greater than.
Well,
sign.
You know what happens when you use one of those in a in an experiment, right? Hmm. You get a Maillard reaction.
Oh, Maillard.
It was funny.
It's not
though.
Pronounced Maillard though.
On paper, that joke works.
On paper, nobody's reading this. Tom.
Everybody, go read the word. I like that joke.
Anyway, you were saying Maillard.
Whatever, man. That's a tomato-tomato moment.
Whatever.
Maillard. Mallard.
Mallard.
I feel like it's Mallard.
Mallard reaction. It's when you brown a duck breast perfectly. It's the Mallard reaction.
The Mallard reaction is actually when you get like a tight piece of corkscrew pasta because that's the Mallard's reaction.
Yeah, that is true. Know, that is true. Yeah, they do screw it in there, don't you?
Corkscrew dick, yeah. So the bizarre thinking behind this is like, you know, there's obviously the relationship with birds and the flu and whatever. And so they take a duck and they imagine that the duck.
I can't get past the duck.
I know it, right? And the duck has this imaginary bacteria in it, which does not exist.
Uh-huh.
It is not real.
Yeah.
They made it up.
Sure.
But then they diluted it. That's
where
my favorite part.
Where do you get it though?
Imagine.
Do you like squeeze a duck to get the fake bacteria?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How much does half a unicorn weigh?
As much as it would take for it to dance on the head of a pin.
it's so crazy. This thing is so crazy. Yeah. And you can go and buy it at the fucking drugstore.
You can buy it at CVS, for Christ's sakes. You can buy it on Amazon.
Okay.
Somebody went on their Facebook. A bunch of people went on their Facebook to be like, this is magic. You're selling magic.
Well, to be fair, they're selling diluted magic. They're not even selling full potency magic.
Imaginary diluted magic.
Right.
And they basically delete the comments. Like, hey, man, that shit sells for a lot of bucks and the overhead's real low. So.
Yeah, this is the greatest. Yeah. This is seriously the greatest business plan ever.
I know.
I would like to sell you this rock.
Yeah.
What does it do? It keeps tigers away.
It keeps.
How does it work? It doesn't.
Well,
I would like to buy your rock.
It keeps imaginary tigers away.
Least racist person that you have ever met. I am the least racist person.
This is a guy to be a fly on the fucking wall. This is from WUSA9.com. So during a service attended by Vice President Mike Pence historically black church, the Metropolitan Baptist Church. The Metropolitan Baptist Church is like formed like 7 minutes after the Emancipation. Yeah. Like, and it kind of was like, it's like the week after, like is what they said. So it's a historically black church. The pastor got up and basically called Trump's comments the shithole comments.
Yeah.
He got up and he said, I want to read what he said. I stand today as your pastor to vehemently denounce and reject any such characterization of the nations of Africa and of our brothers and sisters in Haiti. And I guess throughout the whole sermon, he's you know, going on about this. Yeah. And Pence is sitting there.
Yeah.
Pence is sitting there. And according to this, like, Pence is sitting there turning red.
Yeah, but he afterwards, Pence had said that he didn't turn red. He called it fake hues.
Nobody canceled the show. That was great.
He seriously said that though. Like, yeah, he seriously said, I didn't turn red. Like, yeah, he was like, no, it didn't happen. And everybody around him was like, motherfucker, you look like a beet.
Right? Like, we can see it. Look, we're black. We know color.
We know what it looks like when somebody's embarrassed. It's so funny because he totally fucking denied it. He was like, yeah, no, I'm fine. But these guys got up on the stage. This guy got up on the stage and basically said, look, you know, if you're going to be here, I think he even apologizes to him at one point. Yeah. He's like, look, I'm sorry. You know, you're going to have to hear this. He's like, I'm not going to say these words, but you know, the president was dehumanizing. He was dehumanizing to a large swath of people, people we identify with, people that we identify with. And you're saying that those people are worth less. And that's an insult to everybody sitting in this church.
I love that with Pence in the audience, that was the moment. Yeah. That was the opportunity, right? I love when people are like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Who the fuck are you?
Right. You know, you graced us with your presence. You know what the fuck did he expect? Blowjobs in a fucking fondue fountain? Like, fuck you. Fuck you.
That would get me back to church though. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you this, like, Pence would come back to that. He'd be like, mother, I'm going back for fondue.
He couldn't eat it unless his wife was with him.
Mother, I'm going to get another blowjob.
No, that I'll do without my wife around. Jesus. That guy is such a fucking coward.
Yeah.
That guy's a fucking weirdo and a coward.
Well, you know, and you're complicit.
Right.
You're fucking Donald Trump's assistant.
Everybody.
Your assistant to the regional manager. Fuck you. Fuck you. Yep. You own that shit. You eat that shit just as much as fucking Donald Trump eats it. Fuck off.
Yep. Right there, man. Yeah. Anybody who's a part of this administration is complicit every day they wake up and go to work. You know, because you have choices. And the National Park Service Advisory Board, 3/4 of them quit.
They just walked
in mass. They just were just like, no, we're not doing this. We are not doing this shit.
There was a couple other people that just like
fuck out.
That just like resigned. They're just like, I just resigned. I'm just done.
And that's an option, right? Yeah. That's an option. Like, you know, especially and like, let's be honest, like it's an option, particularly for a lot of the people who work at these very high levels of government. Now, the National Park Service Advisory Board is probably pretty low level, all things considered. It's not like Pence can't find another job.
Yeah.
He's not in it because like, oh, I got to pay my mortgage. Yeah. What the fuck? You know, so like, cut that shit out.
He's not going to get a call from a banker in a week and be like, where's your car payment?
Exactly. Right. Oh, you're turning off your electric.
And it's not like these guys, especially these really powerful guys, can't go out and become a lobbyist within a day.
Right.
I mean, within a day.
These are well-connected, educated people with resources and
tons
money.
Of
like,
resources.
Come the fuck on with that shit.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's nonsense.
I was listening to a story recently. There's going to be there's a huge wave of Republicans that are retiring. There hasn't been this kind of turnover in this way, retiring people from the Congress. I don't know which house. I don't know which one it is. I think it spans both of them, but I think it's mostly in the House. There hasn't been a big switch like this since it happened to Clinton in like the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Because it happened with the Democrats. There's a huge swath of Democrats that just all at the same time just retired. And a bunch of seats came up. And this was when Newt Gingrich, you know, that when he stepped forward and sort of took control of a bunch of stuff. So there hasn't been a swing like this since then. And it's interesting. A lot of people are saying like one of the reasons why they're saying that they're going to walk away, there's sort of two major reasons that they're focusing on. I personally think that they probably are pretty embarrassed by Trump. That's what my suspicion is that many of these people that are Republicans yeah. are embarrassed by Trump, and they just don't want to say it out loud because they don't want to be ostracized from their party. But I think that there's probably at least some of that reason is in there.
I think so.
But the two main reasons that they're pointing to right now are they're saying that they came to Washington. Many of these people came to Washington to get the tax bill done. And now that the tax bill's done, they're like, I don't need to run anymore.
Yeah. It's probably like, yeah, we cut the corporate fucking tax from 35 to 21. I'm going to private sector now.
Well, and that's the second thing is now that they just did this tax thing, a lot of them may just go in and become lobbyists to try to negotiate more of this tax thing down the road. God. Because it's yeah, a wide right. open. Basically, they made
wide
themselves.
Open field.
Yeah, they made yeah. themselves. They basically wrote on their resume, I'm the best person for this job because I'm one of the people who passed it.
Oh my God.
That's what our government is though. I mean, they become congressmen and they go become a lobbyist and, you know, to think that there isn't a major corporate pull in our government, you know,
the government is run by and large by corporate interests.
Yeah.
Any pretense otherwise is delusion.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so weird. This is so crazy. This is from Right Wing Watch. This is Sandy Rios. Her comments.
Yeah.
Oh, her comments. Hey, man. Hey, before she starts, she's just asking the questions.
She's just asking questions.
She's just asking questions.
She's just asking questions. So this is Sandy Rios. Liberals in Hawaii may have orchestrated false missile alert. Here we go. Here's Sandy.
You know, Hawaii is so far to the left. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's even farther left coast than California.
I mean, it depends on the map you're looking at. Yeah, sometimes right. it's next right. to Alaska, which it's is confusing. Yeah. You know, I never understood the climate down in that corner area yeah. in the globe.
It's true. It's like an insert on all right. those old maps where there's just like, yeah, these aren't part of the continental United States. So we just stuff right. them off into the corner.
Report on Hawaii during the election cycle. And I have to say, I was alarmed by the, you know, Hawaii's laid back. That's why people like to go out there. But the saturation of marijuana use on the streets with people and they, hey man, whatever.
Whatever. Come on, man. Her impersonation of a Hawaiian is spot on. Spot on.
Hey man, whatever.
You can't get off the plane over that without somebody saying,
hey, man,
you have these flowers on your neck, whatever, whatever, man. Hey, man.
Is everybody shaggy? Like, is everybody's like, rah, rah, rah.
Everybody's Gomer Pyle.
Not even shaggy.
Hey, man, whatever.
An amazing thing. For an American state, for a state of the United States.
Like California legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
Like
Colorado.
Colorado, Washington State.
Yeah. There's you actually know, there's a whole decriminalized bunch. In Chicago.
Right. I don't know.
Man. I know. But like the thing is like the reefer madness is going to get you.
I don't.
And you're going to be so laid back. You won't care.
The missile's coming. You're just like, whoa, man.
Whatever, like, man.
Hey, man, whatever. Hang 10, missile.
And Hawaii is controlled by left-wing Democrats. And so one just has to ask the question, has somebody on this inside there trying to depress the response of the people of Hawaii in case of some sort of an attack?
Why?
What the fuck?
What? What? So, okay, play this out. You are in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You are the leader of Hawaii. Yeah. You are king of Hawaii. When is it to your advantage to watch your people blow up? Right. And the thing that you were in charge of, hey, I'm in charge of this thing. It'd be better if it blew up. That way I could be in charge of Rubbleopolis again. Wouldn't it actually be more likely that somebody would be like, oh, well, at least we had that drill that wasn't intentionally a drill, but like yeah. it kind of was a drill now. So like we're a little better, we're actually a little better prepared as yeah. a result of that.
Oh, that's true.
Because yeah. like if that happens and you're like, yeah. well, I didn't behave right. Yeah. I'll give you a moment to reflect.
Absolutely. Now you know how to get the manhole cover off to stuff your kid.
Stuff your kid in the toddler manhole covers.
The manhole covers. Yeah, those are child safety manhole covers.
You got to line up the arrows to pop it off.
Yeah, you have to press down really hard and turn it and then pull it up.
The thing people don't expect is that giant cotton ball on the top of it.
It's like sealed. You got to pull that weird little cellophane off, and then you're pulling out cotton. It's like a fucking wizard hat. You're just pulling cotton out of it.
The missile's coming. I can't stop my kid in this thing. Who thought the underneath the ground is just cotton? It's just, that's where all our cotton went.
It's actually in certain places of the country, it's snakes. You just open up, all the snakes shoot up.
Indiana Jones goes to jump down there. And he's just like, fuck, why is it always
snakes? Why does it have to be nuclear missiles? I hate nuclear missiles.
Everybody get in a refrigerator.
That's right. He got some refrigerator.
We'll all be safe inside these refrigerators.
That is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst movie I've ever seen. The Crystal Skull?
It is.
When he's swinging on the snakes, he's using him as like Tarzan vines?
Yeah, he uses him as ropes, yeah.
Snake? Does he use it as a whip? Doesn't he use it as a whip?
Doesn't he get like caught in quicksand and he uses it to pull him out?
Like, throws the snake and whips on something and like pulls himself out? I like, tried to banish it from my memory. But
I don't know. That movie was... If it's not the worst movie ever made,
it's tied.
No, it's the worst movie ever made.
It's tied, at least. Yeah. At the very least, it's tied.
Like, I mean, I have seen midget porn called Itty Bitty Bang Bang.
Itty Bitty Bang Bang, yeah.
Much higher quality film than
Itty Bitty
Bang. Itty Bitty Bang Bang.
Itty Bitty Bang Bang is funny.
That's why I watched it. That is funny. That's the only reason to get it.
That is funny.
But it's these two reasons to get it. Anyway, it's clever. Better movie than Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull or whatever.
Little people, they're Johnson the same size as a regular person's Johnson?
Everything's so relative, you know? Like without a point of reference,
you don't know.
I don't know.
There's like, no banana for scale. Right?
Like holding up a deck of cards. Like,
is there someone somewhere trying to dull them to some kind of a peaked response or a strong response? Is somebody messing with this? Is this a setup? I mean, that's what...
What are you talking? What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, she's just making weird,
what are you talking
wild,
about? Is this a setup? A setup for what?
Did you see the alert people got? Did you see a thing? It's like, yeah. It's like this is not a drill.
It's not a drill. There's fucking missiles coming or something.
That would be mind-numbingly terrible.
Could you imagine the anxiety attack? I know I'd have an anxiety attack right there. I'd be like, because... For me in Chicago, I'm not going to get in my car and try to travel somewhere because it's going to be a million trillion people out trying to go somewhere and there's going to be accidents and shootings and people fighting. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lock my door. I'm going to sit in my living room and I'm going to wait to die. That's what I'm going to do. And it's like, I couldn't imagine the anxiety attack I would have the 20 minutes in because, you know, there's a flight response immediately. I'm hoping that the cognition part of my brain is going to say, that's a stupid thing to do. You're just going to die tired. You know, why die tired? Just sit here and relax. And, you know, like if your wife's home, hold your wife and just die. Yeah. Because like I'm not living through a nuclear attack in the in downtown Chicago. I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to road that shit and fill your fucking bathtub
full of fucking water. Yeah. I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Well, so especially, it's like, I mean, you're right downtown.
Yeah.
You're right downtown. I'm 40 miles outside of downtown.
Yeah.
I get to die very, very slowly.
One of the things that I might be able to do is get to a fallout shelter. But again, you know, I don't know where those are. And how many people are in there? And do I got to fight my way in or do they shut the door on me? You know, like, I mean, like it's just, you're just fucking terrible. It's just terrible.
Right.
So you go through fucking 60 minutes or what was it? 40 minutes of this?
Yeah.
40
Can you imagine that? You have 40 minutes of, oh my God, I'm going to die. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Yeah. When's it going to happen? Where are my kids?
And now you're just thinking like, well, is there any way that they can maybe shoot it down before it gets here? Maybe I can live.
You're turning
this
on the news and trying to watch it. Like you're just, the fucking, it'd be like crazy cartoon bear.
I don't understand.
Panic.
And also, I don't understand how it goes 40 minutes. Like, I don't understand how it goes even 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 1 minute.
Right.
So in my opinion,
in that room that sent the message was like, their phones didn't go off like, oh, fuck, Jim! What the fuck, Jim?
So the cops get a million calls, I'm sure.
Right.
The news is probably reporting it because all those people had fucking alerts. So they're checking on the story. What's happening? Nobody calls anybody in charge during that 20 minutes worth of fucking scrambling. That's just like, and somebody's like, no, man, we don't have a fucking bomb coming at us. Like, none of that happens. Like what? It just,
I don't understand.
It makes me insane to think that went on.
I don't understand how you build a system so easy to fuck up too. Like when I saw the screenshot,
I know the screenshot was like a fucking 1994 fucking CompuServe fucking page.
There's a drop down menu of fucking acronyms and abbreviations. Yeah. And there's like a very minor difference between the, this is a test and this is not a test. Yeah. And they're not even next to each other.
Yeah. It's like fucking somebody's going to nuke your GeoCities.
Right.
You know? GeoCities. Only old people are going to get that.
Oh, that was good.
If you're a listener and you're in Hawaii, let us know what you thought.
I want to know what that was like.
If you got that alert, let us know. Like, send us a message and let us know what happened.
Send us your fucking pants, you shit. Yeah.
Well, send us your Pornhub thing.
That's just the best thing you've ever showed
me. What's hilarious was I saw somewhere that the Pornhub stats for Pornhub, you know, they keep track of their own stats, and they noticed that Hawaii's, right after the alert came through, dropped down bunch. And then right as soon as the alert came back and people knew, it shot up really, really high. So either you interrupted those sessions or a bunch of people were just happy to be alive and wanted to get one off.
Right? They just had a fucking relief erection. Yeah. They're just like, oh my God, I'm so happy.
This is the best day of my life.
Goes through your mind. Well, the Federal Communications Commission, under the leadership, the good leadership of Ajit Pai, is looking into this. And so I'm sure...
You hear that? The good leadership of the guy who is like, yeah, hey, you know, net neutrality? Fuck it.
Pass.
The good leadership of Ajit Pai.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Oh, this is great. This is Right Wing Watch. This is Alex Jones. Media will soon claim that Trump rapes and eats Haitian babies.
Huh.
Well, that's not hyperbolic at all. So let's hear Alex Jones's calm, reasoned analysis.
Okay, here we go.
This is key in crisis management. To cover up a real story, you use a fake story. And this
is that in crisis management 101?
Is
that what they teach you?
Crisis management 101. Right after you learn triage skills, how to stop a wound.
Right. And then they're just like, somebody break out the fake stories. They just have like a jar full of, did you bring the fake stories?
Here's the deal. It's not a bump stock. There was fake stories that came out immediately afterwards too, where they said there was second shooters and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know what the fake stories are? Crackpots. Yeah. It's the same thing that happens with every single disaster, every single shooting. When the fake stories are made by you,
right? Yeah, he is a fake story generating machine. Yeah. He also can't differentiate between other stories and fake stories. Like, so these guys will do that shit all the time, where they'll be like, "Well, this other thing happened in the news that was concurrent with this thing that we were talking about, and this thing got more press attention, and as a result, it was a cover story."
Yeah, it's a cover story. Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's just that there's 7 billion of us and lots of stuff happens every day.
And some people in newsrooms get to use their editorial power to choose which story goes where.
Right.
That's, you know
for sure.
That's how news works.
Yeah.
Is the mother of distractions. The Moab's the mother of bombs. That's conventional. This is the Moab of distraction.
What would be the Moad?
What a weird
mother
metaphor.
Of all distractions would be Moab, right?
Right?
It wouldn't be the Moab of distractions.
And they build it. And then you'll hear more quotes. Yeah, he said he rapes Haitian babies. Yeah, he eats them. Yeah, and well, we just keep hearing about Haitians. It must be true.
Well, who said he raped Haitian babies?
No.
Who said he ate Haitian babies? I would bet that if Donald Trump came near a Haitian, he would immediately sanitize his hands and run away. That's what I would bet. I wouldn't believe he'd eat them. Are you kidding me? He'd be like, no, I don't want that one. I want another piece of cake.
I want a Norwegian baby. That's what I want.
I want a Norwegian baby that looks like my daughter.
I'm going to call her Stormy.
Did you see the Stormy thing that came out?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And I saw an article on the Patheos blog, the Progressive Secular Humanist blog.
Yeah.
That was sort of like, hey, look how alike they look. And like some quotes about like, supposedly.
Yeah.
About
what she's saying.
Yeah. What she's saying is, you know, that he was drawing comparisons between his daughter. And
you know, the thing is like, he said some shit that is creepy and weird, really weird. Already. Like, and not like, this isn't behind the scenes. This isn't him in a car. It's like him on Oprah or whatever.
Auntie's just
on TV. He'd be like, I'd fuck my daughter if I could. It's not that. He said I would be dating her if she wasn't my daughter.
He says like she's got a great body. He talks in very sexually objectifying ways.
Yeah.
About his own
absolutely.
Daughter.
So it's already weird, right? It's already weird. But then he went out and supposedly had this affair, which is funny because like, didn't they drag Clinton through the mud for getting a blowjob?
Do we know if this is verified that he actually,
I don't know where you'd find out if you paid the money.
Right.
Like, I don't know how you'd find that
out. Or even slept with her, right?
Exactly.
Like, who knows?
Yeah.
The story is that he paid $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, who's a porn star.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, Jesus. Man. Well, I mean, look at the man.
You could line your fucking room with hookers, though.
But not look at that man.
130
grand? He pays a premium.
130 grand?
Woman shows up at the door, takes one look at him, decides to rethink her life, goes back, makes up with her dad, is out of the business.
I wonder, though, too, like, you know, if you're famous, suddenly it's like, it's so hard to do that because they are immediately like, nobody's going to take $200.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, there's a discretion issue,
the discretion money is what it's about. You
plus,
know what I mean?
She's a porn star, so she gets a charger. She's not like charging hooker prices.
Yeah.
She's charging porn star. I don't know what that would be, but like, I'm going to guess that that's a different price than somebody in Vegas.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And they always pick a subject the Clintons are weak on. If they're on board the Jerry Epstein, Lolita Express pedophile airplane, if they're involved with a bunch of pedophiles, if their own people got caught.
What? The baggage check for that airline is weird. I'm just saying, very
you
weird.
You have to be this high to ride that ride.
Every suitcase
and
is
shorter than this ride. It's shorter than the line. You have to be shorter.
You can
than
bring
that.
More than 3 ounces of liquids, though. It's just you're actually encouraged.
Yeah.
Shipping hundreds of kids out of Haiti for sex slavery and people get convicted for it that work directly for the Clintons. What do? You file fake lawsuits with Jane Does who don't even show up saying Trump was with Jerry Epstein raping him on the airplane. And then it later turns out it's not true. That's what you do.
I didn't even hear that these stories that weren't true happened.
Even existed.
None of this.
I never heard that Trump raped a baby on an airplane.
He made up a story and then made up the response to the story. And then they discredited the story. None of this happened. This is just all fucking hocus pocus. Alex Jones insanity.
If you're Russian agents on the Russian payroll, like Mueller, like Comey, like the Clintons.
Those guys, Mueller and Comey, are Russian agents on the Russian payroll investigating the Russian connection. I gotta go.
I think
I gotta go. I gotta leave. I'm done.
You know, it's like hiding in plain sight, Tom. It's one of those, it's like they're wearing that turkey gobbler outfit that you shoot the turkeys with, where your face is all covered up. You look like a jihadi. Like the turkey jihadis.
Right? My God.
The giblet jihadis. That's what you would call
them. He just writes this down the night before?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it comes from.
I admire, because he's clearly a wonderful method actor.
Yeah.
Right? Alex Jones.
He's a good writer. He writes good stories.
Where does he draw his inspiration from?
God.
I think of the great method actors of all time. And Alex Jones just kills them all.
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of the news.
That's who I was thinking of. Daniel Day-Lewis is just it's like Alex Jones pulled a Daniel Day-Lewis. He just never stopped. He's like that guy from Network who's just mad as hell.
Yeah.
And he just channeled that guy and got stuck. He just can't get out of it.
He is like Daniel Day-Lewis, except for he finished that milkshake.
Like all these people, you just say Trump is. If you're a race-baiting Nazi collaborator like George Soros, who said he's proud of what he did working for Nazi Germany, what do? You have the Southern Poverty Law Center in ADL. You fund, say Alex Jones is a Nazi.
Is anyone saying Alex Jones is a Nazi?
I think people are just saying you're an idiot.
Yeah, I don't think you're important enough to be a Nazi.
Yeah,
no.
You can't.
If
there were Nazis, they'd kill you. So we want to thank our new patrons. Of course, we want to thank all our patrons for pitching in, making Glory Hole Studios possible, making sure that we can pay our employee to help out with the show. But we want to thank our newest patrons, the Molotov Cockatiel.
I love that.
Melissa.
Also a good one.
Blake Von Sextron. Kevin. Kosarama Ding Dong Doo-Op Shoo-Bop. I hope what? I said that. I don't know. Adam. Zafra Fennec.
Sure.
Jack. Ronstosaurus Rex. And James, thanks so much for your generous donations. We really do truly appreciate it. If you want to become a patron, all you have to do is go to dissonancepod.com. At the very top of the page, there's a link. You can become a patron of the show. You get the show a little early. And on occasion, we do a little extra stuff for patrons.
Indeed.
So if you want to join, we would love to have you aboard. We want to send a thank you out to Marissa, who sent us a copy of her latest book.
How nice is that?
Isn't that sweet?
It was very nice.
It was very nice for her to do. So thank you very much, Marissa. So we got a bunch of messages about substance abuse help. We'll put a bunch of links on this week's show notes. They were also on the link on Facebook for the Facebook episode, last episode 396. But on 397, we will put these links so you can find them if you like on this week's show notes. There's several different secular therapists that you could find. Smart Recovery is one of them that someone had linked to. Secular AA, the Secular Therapy Project. That's from Recovering from Religion. We actually talked to
we talked to
that group on the phone once. But we want to thank everybody who submitted messages based on this. We hope that the person who sent us messages can find a secular therapist to help them with the problems that they're having. We got a cool video from Marcos, Tom. This is Smells Like Teen Spirit, except for it's played in the major key.
It's so weird. It sounds like a totally different song.
Really does. And this is something I don't know. Like, we're not musicians, so we don't know.
No, we're not.
We don't know, like, if people do this all the time or whatever, but it was very new to me.
Yeah, it sounds just crazy.
It really changes the whole dynamic of the song. We're going to post it on this week's show notes. It's 397. We have a funny pun, Star Wars pun, for it's a play off of Kylo Ren. You can find it on this week's show notes. I'm going to put it on this week's show notes. It's episode 397. Very funny from Kernan, a Star Wars pun that I laughed at. We got a message from Sean in Melbourne, and this is a glory hole soundbite that they sent. I sat down, had a few drinks, but all we kept talking about is glory holes.
I love it.
Tom, we got a message. This is from the Bunk podcast. They had sent us, so they took Skeptic's Creed, they translated it to German, then to Portuguese, then to Japanese, and then back. So here it is. It's been translated. Tom, why don't you read it?
Skeptic belief. Reliability is not a virtue. That's lucky. Biscuits cutter. Mother's problem. Hypno-Babylon of Babylon. I wore Scientology, double bubble job and anger.
Hey, now
fake alternative, battery pressurized stereogram, pyramidal type, free energy curing, perfused misaligned brains have downward spiral defects, infotainment, Leo, Pisces, detoxification of healing massage and reflex, tarot card of death and tower, crystal healing, crystal ball, Bigfoot, Yeti, alien. Churches, mosques, and synagogues.
Those are the same.
A temple, dragon, a huge insect.
Hey, now.
Atlantis, dolphin. Chisser Bazaars.
What?
I don't know what that is. Witch assistant. Vaccinated sows.
Which one?
Sherman healer. Evangelist. Ambiguity of conspiracy. Publisher page. Push your hand. Blood stained to prove definitive. I even doubt it. I love the end of it.
I do too.
Push your hand.
There's a couple of parts in here that are really funny. Reliability is not a virtue. I like that. That's pretty funny. Thank you, James from the Bunk Podcast. We got a message. This is from, they didn't sign it, and I don't want to read their email address. They said that Crave vibrator necklace. They're like, granted, I'll judge folks for buying it from Goop, but that thing is fantastic. A few people ever see it and assume its function when my partner wears it. That's so great. And they said that, like, at one point, it comes on when you hug, which is funny. But then the partner pointed out that someone was wearing a similar necklace and winked at the one wearing it and said, "Hey, I know what that is." And the woman nodded to her and said, "Yes, it's the ashes of my brother." These mini earths are the best way to keep them close
to
me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. That's so funny.
That's so awesome.
That is so funny. Yeah, we got a couple of people who sent us messages and being like, "Hey, man, what's the big deal? It's just a vibrator." It's like, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. It's just
not
funny.
A big deal. It's like, just funny. That's
you're wearing
all.
A sex toy yeah. around your neck.
It's like, funny. It's funny. Yeah. I don't. And here's the thing. Like, good for them. Like, right. I'm happy that they're going to diddle themselves. Like, good for you. You're sex positive. Good for you. I mean, that don't take from that segment that right. they were laughing at the fact that they were going to diddle themselves. We just thought it was funny. We just thought it was humorous that they were wearing it around their neck. It's like, you know, it's like, it'd be like me wearing a fleshlight around my neck, like a yeah. Flava Flav clock. It would be funny. It would be
like
funny.
A Flava Flav
it
clock.
Would be funny.
This is a weird flavor. Now.
Flava Flav. Flesh of flesh. So we got a message from Mike, and Mike had said that our podcast had helped him when his dog died unexpectedly, and it really helped him get through. And he also wanted us to let Eli know that it helped him as well. That Eli was, I guess, existed. I don't think he listens to any of Eli's shows.
Probably not. I don't think Eli listens to this show, so it's fine. So
that's why I can say that. but yeah, it's anytime that I get a message like this, it's always very heartening. I know how hard it is to lose a pet. Losing a pet is really,
really hard.
It's tearing a piece of your heart out. It really is. I had a very close friend recently lost a pet. And I saw them this last Saturday and we both teared up while we were talking about our previous pets. Like you just can't not when you have a conversation like that, not, you know, have that moment where you're just like, yeah, I remember my cats and I love them deeply. You know, it's right. like, then they're gone now and it sucks. Time we got a message, another message about Do the Needful from Ryan.
Yeah. So Ryan says, "I thought it was just my work. The company I worked for, used to be part of a massive HR software and services company. 90% of our employees were in India. We then got carved out by a private equity firm and jobs started coming back to the US, but we retained some people in India for a while. In time, Do the Needful became a running joke, complete with a dance." That's the part I love.
I want to see the Do the Needful dance.
Send us, Ryan, your Do
Ryan,
the Needful.
Ryan, somebody's got to videotape you doing the Needful. That's all we're saying. Actually, no, don't tape that. No, I think about it.
So I looked this up. Do the Needful has its own wiki entry.
Does it really?
It does. It's an Indianism. It's so like... Like there's Americanisms, which are just American idioms, you know, and it's an Indian American idiom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's a whole thing about it online. I looked it up after we got this particular email and
What does it mean? Like, what is the,
it means do what's necessary in order to accomplish what needs to be done.
Okay. Yeah. We got another message about the celiac. If I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Am I pronouncing
that
right?
Celiac?
Is it celiac or celiac?
I thought it was celiac.
Is it celiac or celiac? I don't know. It doesn't matter. In any case, Joe sent in a message and said, that it's not only that you're allergic to it on your skin. It might just be that you get a little bit on your hands. Like if you have something in lotion and then you touch something you eat and you can then have a reaction to it too. I didn't realize that we had sensitive.
I had no idea that it was this serious. We got messages from people who told us like, yeah, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And I stand entirely corrected on that. And I had no idea it was this serious. Yeah.
We got a message. This is from Tommy, and Tommy says, "Dear sirs," so he says, "I just listened to episode 361. I need a whole bag of the delicious Djungervalli or whatever they're called, the weird little salt licorice from fucking crazy nation." He's like, "You were sent and enjoy it. This was actually one of the tastier candies we had growing up. Life is harsh here in Northern Europe."
I guess so. It must be extremely harsh if you're eating fucking fertilizer licorice.
I would rather go on the street after it snows and pick up a slush ball from the street with a salty, gross, black slush ball and eat that before I eat the fucking salt licorice.
Here's the thing. I think I could get that down.
Yeah.
I cannot keep that in my mouth.
You just can't do it. We have a guest next week that's coming to the show. And I'm not going to say who it is yet because sometimes things go wrong and they might miss their flight or whatever, but we're going to have somebody in studio. We are going to have that person eat one of those licorice.
Oh, live stream?
I don't know if we're going to live stream it, but we would certainly videotape it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do it too. In solidarity, I'll do it
too. I will try again.
I'll do it too.
I've not been able to keep that thing.
So when we record episode 400 with this person,
yes,
we're going to have them try a licorice. We want to mention, so Iran was one of the people who helped facilitate us getting down to Australia. And Iran sent us a message along with a ton of other skeptics. He sent these to, but he's the president of the Australian Skeptics Incorporated. And there is a person by the name of Britt Hermes. Britt is a skeptic, and they were being sued by a naturopath because the for slander or libel, I think. And so they are raising money to try to get a legal fund for Britt. In 4 days, they've raised more than $58,000 or 37,000 euros. They want to get up to 50,000 euros. So that's 80,000, I guess, Australian dollars. So we're going to put a link to this on this week's show notes so you can donate to this legal fund. What this is going to allow somebody to do is call someone who is a naturopath who is doing damaging work to someone, call them out for being fraudulent. That's what they're being sued for. They're being sued for exposing this person as a fraud, and they are being sued for it. So you should, if you have any extra funds and you think this is important work, go to our website. Britt is being sued, and this, all of these funds are going to go to that. Now, it says also on here too, so like there, if this money doesn't get used and they collect more money than is required to cover the person's expenses, after it's going to be held for a period of 12 months to ensure that there's no more legal risk, and then they're going to donate it to a charity called Sense About Science, or it's going to be put in a generalized skeptics legal defense fund. So your funds, if they don't go to this, will go to future defense or to a charity. So your funds aren't just going away. They're not just going to like somebody's pocket. This isn't a GoFundMe.
Right.
This is a specific charity set up to help this person so that they can continue to be a skeptic. And this will also hopefully be sort of set up as law then that this sort of thing can't happen in the future. This is fucking awesome. Richard from Toulouse, France. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. It's probably Toulouse.
I believe it's towels.
I don't think that's right.
No.
He says, "Bonjour, Tom and Cecil. I just listened to Pat Robertson's lesson on French history in episode 396, and we did play that clip. I wound up playing that clip of Pat when he said that the Haitians made a pact with the devil to help them defeat Napoleon III. He says it doesn't quite match the real dates, though. Haiti got independence from France in 1804. Napoleon III was born in 1808. So just like that wicked devil to make a pact to help you get independence after you've already got it from a future not yet born pre-fetus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hilarious. So, Richard, thanks for listening from France. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week's going to be a little interesting, Tom. We're going to, next week's 398. We're going to be recording in studio 398, but we'll also be recording episode 400.
Indeed.
Next
pretty
week,
exciting.
Which is pretty exciting. So that should be pretty crazy. We're looking forward to that. So we're going to, we'll let you know when it happens, though, because like we say, flights sometimes get canceled, so we don't want to make big announcements beforehand, but we certainly will let you know who's going to be on 400 on 398. So that's going to wrap it up for this week, but we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.